Turn on the microphone, is what Gary's saying. Okay, fantastic. All right, we're excited to be here this morning. If you're joining us in person or online, we are so glad that you're here. Now, I want to go ahead and address my attire this morning. I've had a few people ask me about it. And to that, I would say this old thing. I'm a lifelong Hogs fan. But in all honesty, what happened was after my beloved Kentucky Wildcats were defeated in the SEC tournament, I had several people do kind of wellness checks on me, which was helpful and necessary. The crying had stopped at this point. But one individual was like, how are you doing? And I said, I'm just glad it's over. It's been a really bad year for the Cats. I'm glad we're done with it. And they were very, very nice, very supportive. And then the following text was, by the way, what size shirts does your whole family wear? Which ended up with the Yates family bringing over shirts for all of our family to wear. And I just want you to know, like, my kids are in. The kids are really big on the Hogs. John has taught Judah how to do the woo pig thing. It's been one of John's biggest achievements with my family. And so I wanted to wear this shirt to show my support for the Hogs. They are now elite, going against the what I would call the Fighting Jeff Hankins on Monday night. But it's going to be a good game, but I'm all in. I think it's exciting. It's a fun time of the year. And so I just wanted to show my support for the Razorbacks. With that, I want to jump into our sermon. Hard transition there. I want to jump into our sermon this morning and talk about the theme of unconditional love. This morning, we'll be in the book of Hosea and in Matthew 21, if you wanted to go ahead and find those spots. And whatever, if you're using your Bible, if you're using your phone or whatever, will be in the book of Hosea and the book of Matthew chapter 21. And I thought about starting with the book of Hosea because it's not a book that we address quite often. It's not one that you're going to see like, this year's VBS theme is Hosea. You're probably going to skip over it in children's church curriculum as well. It's not one that we use a lot around children. And it's because it is kind of a difficult passage, a challenging passage too, where God uses his prophet in a way that is kind of uncommon in the way that God uses his prophets throughout the scripture. And throughout scripture, God has tried to express his unconditional love to creation. And he does so in different and unique and beautiful ways. And the book of Hosea is one of those beautiful and different and unique ways. And so the book of Hosea begins in verse 1. Here we go. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Jeshua, king of Israel. In verse 2, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. I want to pause right there and remind us that God here is talking to a prophet. He's addressing Hosea, and he's saying, Hosea, I have a task for you. Now, if you looked at that first passage, we're given a rundown of all the kings that the prophet Hosea has served through. Like, he's like, all right, like, it's time to go to work, God. Like, what do you got for me? And God is like, what I want you to do is marry a promiscuous woman. And you have to think that Hosea was just like, hey, God, I was in like a dead zone there. Like, am I getting like the read right on this? Like, you're wanting me to go marry a promiscuous woman. And God is like, yeah, double time. Like, that is what I want you to do. I want you to find this woman named Gomer, and I want you to recognize that the relationship that you're going to have with Gomer, as we see in verse 2, is like an adulterous wife. This land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. God is saying the relationship that you're going to have with Gomer mirrors the relationship that Israel has with me. And I think this is just a wild, out-of-the-gate story here that, again, wouldn't be a great like VBS curriculum, but it reminds us of a very powerful lesson of how much God loves us and how God's unfaithfulness, you know, his unconditional love is just, it's powerful, and it's at times it's painful, but it's a good reminder here in the book of Hosea to see that God is trying to express his love to a people that don't love him, that reject him, that run away from him, that turn their backs on God. But God is saying, I love you unconditionally. And so the text in verse 3, so he married Gomer, and she conceived and bore him a son. In verse 4, then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel. I love kids' names. We named Judah because of the passage in Genesis. It means praise. And we named Isla because we really wanted her to be challenged every single time she tried to, a substitute teacher announced, like read through the list, and they were like, Isla, and she's like, it's Isla, the S is silent, but there's no indication. You know, we wanted that challenge for this little girl her entire life. And so names are super, super cool to me. And so here we have these three children that God is going to give their names to Gomer and Hosea. And so God says, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I'll put an end to the kingdom of Israel. And I just made a joke about Isla every time that a substitute teacher comes to town, how she's going to have to explain what her name means. Think about this kid. It's like, all right, is Jezreel here? And it's like, yeah, present. What does your name mean? Well, actually, it's the house of Jehu is going to be punished for the massacre at Jezreel. And they're like, dude, what? And he's like, yeah, my parents are crazy. Like, this guy had a weight in his name, but it's because names mean something. And God is, again, expressing the relationship that God has with Israel through the naming of these children. And so God doesn't stop there. The second child that Gomer and Hosea have will be named as well. Gomer in verse 6, Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. The Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved. I mean, that's the first kid at school. That's a dark name. But this one, you're like, woo, like, okay, there's some stuff there happening in your family. You know, maybe we need to talk about it. But it says, for I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them. And so there's another kid. Verse 8, after she had weaned, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people, for you are not my people and I am not your God. And you have these three children that are named that express the relationship that God has with Israel. And if the story stopped there, you'd be like, why is this in the Bible? Like, this is depressing. This is dark. These poor children. Like, you go through that, the human emotions of it. But the story doesn't end there. Because the story of Hosea and Gomer is all about Hosea pursuing Gomer in the way that God pursues his creation. The unconditional love that God constantly tries to show us and express to us is witnessed through the relationship of Hosea and Gomer. In chapter 3, the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. God is saying, Hosea, you have to love Gomer the way that I love creation. I'm not going to give up on creation. No matter what happens, no matter how you turn your back on me, no matter if you run away, no matter if you hurt me, I'm going to love you unconditionally. And the beautiful part of Hosea is in chapter 14 when it ends. It reads, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. The story ends with God reminding that, like, no matter what, I'm going to love you. And we're captivated by that unconditional commitment, right? Like, when we hear stories of unconditional love and unconditional friendship, it catches our attention because it's unique and it's special and it's beautiful. And even in the book of Hosea, like, sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's difficult to watch. But again, we are reminded, like, that is how God loves us. That no matter what we do, no matter how we hurt God, no matter if we turn our backs on God, God is still pursuing us, saying, I love you. I created you. I will pursue you. I want a relationship with you. And so God uses the relationship of Gomer and Hosea to remind us of that. And it's powerful. And it's a beautiful reminder of how much God loves us and how God loves us unconditionally. I mentioned stories of unconditional love and friendship are captivating. And so when I was preparing for this theme, I found the story from the 1950s. And I'm obviously a big sports person, as I'm trying to indicate today. But I found the story from 1951 of the San Francisco Dons. And I'm not sure if anybody remembers the San Francisco Dons, or if maybe you've heard the story before. It's wonderful. But in the late 1940s and in the early 1950s, they were a powerhouse football team. And they were at the University of San Francisco. It was their college team. And in 1951 was the best season the San Francisco Dons ever had. At one point in the season, they were 8-0, and they weren't just beating teams, like they were demolishing teams. Like we're talking 47-0. I mean, they're humiliating people, and they don't even have masks on their helmets. I mean, they're absolutely crazy guys. But they were a powerhouse football team. And so in their last game of the season, to try to go 9-0, they play Loyola Marymount of Los Angeles. They go into that game undefeated. They destroy Loyola Marymount. A perfect season. Now, in college football, if you're in that kind of situation where you've got a perfect season, things are going great, you're waiting for that bowl game call. Now, in the present time, I think there are about 4,000 bowl games, from lawnmower bowls to Popeye's Louisiana chicken. I don't know. You name your flavor, they've got a bowl for it. But in 1950, there were only seven bowl games across the country. And the phone call that the San Francisco Dons received was from the Orange Bowl. It was considered to be one of the most prestigious bowl games out there at that time. So they get this phone call, and they're like, hey, you guys have had an amazing season. We want to invite you to Miami to play in the Orange Bowl. Let's do it. And the Orange Bowl says, the only thing is, we have one condition. Two of your players cannot come. And we got a team photo here, and we can play. Guess which players the Orange Bowl did not want to come. And I'm pointing that out because the Orange Bowl said the only way that we will give you an invitation to play in the Orange Bowl is if the two African-American players on your team don't come. Now, you got a moment here if you think about this. These are college-age kids. A bowl game is, that's what you're playing for in college football. So they get this call, you guys can come, but two of your players can't come. And the team said, you know what, like if they can't come, we're not coming. And they didn't. The San Francisco Dons turned down an invitation to play in the Orange Bowl. And I thought about that story a lot this week when I was looking at things about unconditional love and unconditional friendship and unconditional commitment. And I love the commitment that these guys had for their fellow like brother, for their fellow friend, for their fellow teammate. Because they put everything on the line. They worked so hard to get to this point. But they recognized that their commitment to one another was more important than the short-term gain. They recognized that, you know, yeah, we would get to play in the Orange Bowl. That would be super cool. Like, it may lead to professional careers. It may lead to major successes for our program. But, like, we're not going to go because we have committed to these guys, to our whole team unconditionally. Now, what's fascinating about the San Francisco Dons, and when I brought that up, you're like, haven't heard of them, it's because they no longer exist. The football program folded like a year later. And when you read interviews from the guys about their decision to not play in the Orange Bowl, there's zero regret. None of them were like, hey, you know what, I wish we would have actually gone. I wish we would have just figured something out. Like, they're all like, no, the decision we made to be committed to our teammates, that is what we should have done. They have no regrets for the choice that they made in that moment because they realized that unconditional love is more important than short-term gains, than playing in the Orange Bowl. They recognized that something special is happening in this moment where we can stand up and say, no matter what, I'm going to stand beside you. No matter what consequences may come, no matter if our football program goes away, I am committed to you. Now, today is Palm Sunday. And it's a Sunday that often we try to recognize Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And that's where I'm trying to go with Matthew 21. And I promise you, I have a connection between Hosea, the San Francisco Dons, and the triumphal entry. But to do that, I want to frame what's happening in the story. And so if you want to go to Matthew 21, you can go ahead there, and we'll have it on the screen as well. But the story begins as they approached Jesus and his disciples and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." And we need to pause here and recognize that Matthew and Luke are telling the same story. Luke has the exact same depiction of this story, but there's a different detail. And it's easy to get hung up on this detail if we miss what the different authors are trying to do. Matthew includes Jesus riding on a donkey with a colt beside it. So, for math majors, that's two donkeys present. Luke only includes one. And there's a lot of people that when you recognize that, they're like, biblical error. Okay, I'll give you that. They're different stories. But what Matthew is trying to do here is validate the messiahship of Jesus. Matthew is more concerned with his Jewish audience understanding that Jesus is who the Bible has said he is, or the Old Testament, the Torah. He's saying that what we see in Scripture is validated in Jesus' actions. And so Matthew is going to reference this here in verse 5. It says, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zephaniah. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Matthew is like, there's two there. There has to be there two there because Jesus is the Messiah. And Matthew's audience would have heard that and said, yes, this is who it is. The prophecies are coming true. Jesus is the true Messiah. Luke is not concerned about that. Luke's gospel is about including the Gentiles, including the people that the Jews have rejected. And so he's not going to focus on these details from the Old Testament like Matthew is. And I point that here out because there's a lot happening in this triumphal entry. It's not just Jesus riding on a donkey with a bunch of palm leaves. There's a lot of different layers that's happening here in this story. And if we miss them, we miss the magnitude of what's happening. So the disciples in verse 6 went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now again, there's a lot of stuff happening here. Often when crowds are involved with Jesus, they miss the point of the moment. They miss not only the magnitude of the moment, but they also miss what's actually going on in the moment. What's happening is the crowds think that Jesus is coming into town to overthrow the Roman government. They did this when Jesus fed the 5,000. If you remember that story, what happens is they start sitting in these military regiments because they're like, yes, we are about to overthrow this government. And what's happening here is the crowds are swelling along this road to welcome Jesus in as an earthly king. And they're saying, yes, Jesus is here. Like, we missed it with the fish, but now we know that Jesus is here and he's going to overthrow the Roman government. That is what they believe is happening. That is why they are celebrating in this way, is they think that Jesus is coming to do that. But again, remember what Jesus is riding on. In the time of Jesus, if someone was coming into your country, into your area, to overthrow the government, they would have ridden a horse. But if they were coming in peace, they would have ridden a donkey. They symbolize two different things. It's kind of where we get the phrase like war horse. And then peace donkey, which is not a phrase, but I'm coining it now. But what's happening there is Jesus is trying to say, like, are you missing what I'm doing here? I'm not coming in to town to overthrow the Roman government. If anything, I'm coming into town to overthrow your lives. I want to change who you are. I want you to think about how you're living your lives. Jesus is like, I'm not here to disrupt the Romans. I'm here to disrupt you. And again, just like the feeding of the 5,000, that they're missing what Jesus is trying to do in this moment. And so the crowds swell. They've got these cloaks. They have these branches from the trees. They've spread them on the road. Jesus is entering into the city. The crowds that went ahead of him shouted, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We know this passage, right? And we can almost feel the emotion of the crowds shouting this as they see Jesus. and the joy on their faces, and maybe the goosebumps that they feel, and just the emotional, kind of just everything that's happening here in this moment of like, yes, Jesus is here. He's going to overthrow the Romans. As Jesus rides in on this donkey, they're shouting these things, Hosanna. You can almost hear it as the crowd cries out to Jesus. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. As I was looking at Matthew 21, I kept thinking of this funny story that I remembered as a kid. I grew up in a small town, and we had a Mexican restaurant. And that's kind of how you know that I'm from a small town, is we had the Mexican restaurant. It's like, where should you eat? Well, there's the Mexican restaurant. Like, that was just like how we talked. And now in Madisonville, there's two Mexican restaurants, and the new Mexican restaurant actually is in the place of the old Mexican restaurant, and that's moved to the old Cody's, which is like how you talk if you're from a small town, right? And so we had this Mexican restaurant that was by a train track, but it was like a bridge train track, which meant if you were trying to turn left onto Main Street to leave the Mexican restaurant, like it was near impossible. Like, you couldn't, because you couldn't, there was the bridge there, and you couldn't see really the traffic that was coming. So the only way that you could really safely exit this Mexican restaurant is to turn right, but you're at the mercy of traffic. You can either kind of do the death mission of like, here I go, I'm going to turn left, or you can just kind of wait patiently for some kind, just beautiful citizen to let you out, and so you can, you know, go home. And so I was thinking about this time when I was a kid and we were eating there, and our family leaves the restaurant, and my dad is driving, and we're going to try to turn right to get out of the Mexican restaurant to go home. And after a minute of waiting in traffic, we were kind of like, oh, we're not, this is what we're doing right now. Like, we're not getting out anytime soon. And my dad is one of the funniest individuals that I think you'll ever meet. But my dad is holding the steering wheel. And as cars are passing by, he's just like, I'll never forget you, Ford. I'll never forget you, Buick. And we're cackling, we're laughing, and he's going through these cars. And then finally, when we're you know, graciously, you know, with the mercy of the Lord, given the chance to leave this parking lot, my dad is like, and I'll never forget you. And I don't remember what car it was. But I kept going back to that story as I looked at Matthew 21. And I have to think that there was something like that happening to Jesus in this moment. As he's riding this donkey into the city of Jerusalem, you have this crowd of people that are just shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, like, blessed be your name. And they're just crying out to Jesus. And Jesus being Jesus, riding on this donkey, I think has to look at the faces of these people. And he's like, man, I know you're going to shout, crucify me in a few days. Like, I know that in a few days, like, you're going to mock me when I can't carry this cross. That when they're piercing my hands with nails, like, I know that you're just going to look at me. I know that you're going to turn your back on me. And as he rides the donkey, he's seeing these people, and he has to know that these are some of the people. The people that are cheering for him right now are going to turn their backs on him. They're going to reject him, betray him, mock him. And the thing that is so powerful in this moment is that Jesus he stays the course. He continues to ride into the city of Jerusalem, knowing that the people, the very people who were cheering for him, crying out to Hosanna, he knows that those are the same people that are going to reject him. Jesus doesn't get off the donkey. He's not like, hey, disciples, rethought this. Let's wrap it up. He continues to ride into the city, and he goes to the cross for the same people that are going to betray him, because God loves us unconditionally. I don't know who needs to hear it right now, but no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how you've turned your back on God, God is still pursuing you. God is still chasing after you, saying, I love you. No matter what, I love you. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 8. I think we have it here. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, if you get anything out of today, it's that Jesus does not get off the donkey. When he's entering into the city of Jerusalem, he does not change course, but he rides to his crucifixion. He looks in the faces of the very people that will betray him, and he still looks at them and says, "I love you. There's nothing that you can do that would make me not love you." In the same way that Hosea pursues Gomer, the same way that the San Francisco Dons were committed to their friends, in a more beautifully and painful way, Jesus loves us that much. Please be reminded that God's love for you is unconditional. That no matter what you do, no matter if you turn your back on God, if you walk away, regardless of what you do, God is crying out to you saying, "My love for you is unconditional."